Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Psy Effect, a show that deals with hot topics from all directions. And now, introducing the funny, the talented, the charismatic, the captivating, the woman who tells it like it is, your host, I am Psy.
Of the Psy Effect Radio Show, and I am your host, Psy, and today I have the fabulous Moonshine Brown on the Psy Effect. He's a talented singer, songwriter, and producer, and a multi-dimensionalist from Miami, Florida. He had 6 songs placed in 5 Sony motion pictures, which include Pandora's Box, Motives, The Escorts, Stomp the Yard, and 3 Can Play That Game. Moonshine Brown's sound has been described as a hybrid of Jimi Hendrix, Lenny Kravitz, and Andre 3000. But his raw, soulful sound is completely fresh and original, that's for sure. He has also gained the attention as a producer. The fabulous Moonshine Brown has earned a multi-platinum plaque for productions on Ludacris' Red Light District album and a gold plaque for work on Curtis Mayfield's last studio album called The New World Order. Please welcome the fabulous Moonshine Brown to the Psy Effect Radio Show.
Hello, hello.
What's going on, Mr. Moonshine Brown? How you doing today?
I'm good. Everything is good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for coming on the Psy Effect. I gratefully appreciate it. I love your music. I am a fan. I had an artist that you produced on the show, Remedy, and I fell in love with her album. And then she came on the show and she shared that you had produced the entire album, and that it was just right for me to bring you on the show as well.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, you're no stranger to the music industry. You know, as I said in the intro, you've worked with a couple of people in the industry, Ludacris, Curtis Mayfield. Who else have you had the pleasure to connect with?
Sleepy Brown from Organized Noise and Outkast fame. I go back as far as Father MC.
Wow.
Society from Public Enemy, Latin artists, jazz artists. And I actually been doing it for about 20 years,
okay.
Over 20 years, most of my life. So,
okay. You're working all genre music.
Yeah, all genres. I try. Music is just music. I see it as just music.
Okay.
So I really don't see the genres as just good music.
Tell us, where did the name Moonshine Brown come from?
The name Moonshine Brown, it came from, and most people think it's pertaining to the alcohol and being illegal. Everybody knows what moonshine is, but I don't even spell it the way that it's spelled with the alcohol. I spell it with a Y. And really what it means is a higher thought. It really means as if in the darkness, I'm the light in the darkness. And it may sound conceited, but in a world that is often dead or asleep, I'm the light in that. Just like the moon lights up the night, the light, the ongoing light that lightens the darkness.
I love it. So, you know, when I heard the name Moonshine, you know, I automatically associated it with the wine, you know, the moonshine, because, you know, my mom used to make moonshine. So I was like, okay. And now that you broke down what it meant, I understand why, you know, how I felt like I was at the light when I used to sneak
right.
and drink that moonshine.
Right.
Like I was the light.
It's even... If the moonshine was supposed to be like overproof, that's like the most powerful alcohol you can get. And that's not a bad, I mean, connotation or something to compare it to, but it's still that light. It's that power.
Mm-hmm.
The light is
mm-hmm.
power. And the dark
light
is meaning that I'm always woke. It's always woke. Creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that came from. You know.
What's your nationality?
I'm American. My family is Bahamian descent.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm from here. Actually was born in Upper Florida, and I'm a Miami native, even though I've stayed in many places in the world, but Miami native, so.
So you are a Bahamian brother, got some Bahamian in you. Your Bahamian brother doing rock music. So how are you received when you perform?
Dig that, right?
Yeah,
wow.
That's crazy.
You
that's
know
a combination.
What? What's even bigger than the fact that I'm a Bahamian, because they really don't care about that nationality,
mm-hmm.
It's the fact that I'm black and doing rock and roll, which makes it such a big, it's the pink elephant in the room, or the unicorn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time when I do gigs, the first initial, especially with the other races, the first initial thought is that I'm going to do reggae or I'm going to do hip-hop. And when they see me with this blaring guitar coming in, it's like, whoa, and it's like, now I get, then I get Jimi Hendrix and whoa, and so it's, you know what, I actually really, 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 really get accepted by other races. So I haven't had a bad thing with that. You know what? You know where the prejudice comes in, and I hate to say it, is mostly with my own kind, because they don't really know, you know? But most of my shows are for predominantly Caucasians, Latin audience. I would like more of us to come, you know?
Yeah.
But, it is what it is. I still got to play, and I still got to get the creativity out. So I don't really push those boundaries of saying I'm only going to play to one crowd. Even though that I am clearly, you know, pro-black and for our people and all that, I still want the upliftment. But I see myself uplifting by getting the music out, period, and showing an example of that a black man can do this kind of music.
Absolutely, and music is supposed to be colorblind anyway. So, you know, you're going about it the right way. I'm black, and I love the music. So, you know, I guess I'm in that, percentage, that 1%.
That's cool, though. Right? That's cool, though.
Yes.
You know?
I love your music because you are not the status quo. I guess, in a sense, your music, and like I told Remedy, you stepped out of the box when, you know, you create, and that you can hear in the music, and you're not following suit with everything else that's being played or everyone else that's out there in the industry, and that's why I fell in love with Remedy's album. You know, I fell in love with the production, and I've fallen in love with your music. I'm a fan, and I love artists that aren't afraid to step out of the box.
Thank you for that. I mean, I really, I don't know, well, I will be lying if I say it. It's a conscious thing for me to, like, look at the norm and try to go in the norm and pull the new flower out of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To be honest, like, we really don't know what the next club hit is going to be. We really don't know what the next big song is going to be. And if we stay and we copy and we do what everybody else do, then there's no growth in the actual art form. If somebody doesn't do something new, there will be nothing to sample, right? If somebody doesn't do anything new, then the music's going to stay stagnant. So my thoughts were always with thinking, you know, trying to, if I'm singing a love song or if I'm writing a love song, if I'm doing a love song for somebody else or anything, it's real easy to say, I love you. But how can I express that through a different emotion and get the same definition out of it? And so I kind of look at it that way always, kind of digging in and kind of opening it, like wearing some pants inside out. You dig it? I mean, some people are going to be like, oh, what's wrong with him? Because it's not the norm. Some people are like, well, hey, he had the guts to do that.
Right.
And if it's good and if it looks good, you just got to give it up.
So I completely agree with you.
We still write good music, you know?
Yeah.
And that was my whole thing for that, good music.
Take us back to a younger Moonshine Brown. Did you always want to pursue music?
As long as I've known breath, I think music has been there, period. I mean, I don't know anything else.
That's when you know that you were born to do what you're supposed to do. If you can't think of anything else you've ever wanted to do, this is your calling. How many instruments do you play? I said earlier that you are a multi-instrumentalist.
I play guitar. I play bass. Well, just on Remedy's album alone, I play guitar. I play bass. I play live drums. I played keys, wireless, and piano. I played organ. I played saxophone on her album. I play clarinet and flute and congas, and I think I hit most of it. Congas, a little trumpet, enough to get by. But the bass is drums, bass, piano, guitar, saxophone, all the saxophones, tenor, alto, soprano, flute, clarinet. So, like I said, it's, I mean, years of me playing and playing and get to know the instrument and everything.
So you were self-taught?
I was self-taught on guitar, bass, drums,
mm-hmm.
and piano. In high school, I took saxophone. I actually went to Florida A&M, was in the Marching 100. I played sax, I played alto, I played tenor. Concert band took me to clarinet and flute and all that. So I say the me reading sheet music part of it was taught to me. The guitar part, I taught myself. Bass, I taught myself. Drums, I taught myself. Piano, I taught myself. Organ, I taught myself. Everything else was out of necessity. Taught myself. Drums, I taught myself. So.
That's crazy. That's crazy. You were playing the sax on Open My Heart for Remedy, right?
Actually, the sax part was my, he's an alto sax. I didn't actually want to play the solo on that because
mm-hmm.
I did so much on the album that I wanted a different perspective of it. So
okay.
I got one of my, childhood friends who went to family with me and went to high school with me. His name is Melton Mustafa. And Melton Mustafa is playing the solo in the very beginning of it. He really got down on it. And I wanted that different perspective, and that was more of a production call on that because
mm-hmm.
Mustafa is a jazz saxophonist.
Mm-hmm.
And the song opened my heart. If you really get into it after you've listened to it over and over, it's a ballad. But it's not conventional. It's more like a psychedelic ballad. Even if you listen
right.
to the instrumentation and the way it floats, it's really
uh-huh.
mind-altering. And when people see the visual for that, they'll understand how really mind-altering that, because that song is about her having a conversation with herself.
Mm.
And most people say when you talk to yourself and you answer yourself, you're crazy. So it's really psychotic and psychedelic. That song is really deep. So the perspective of bringing Mustafa in to play saxophone, the jazz, Melton Mustafa, bring him in to play that solo instead of me, brought a jazz element,
mm-hmm.
a soul element, a spiritual element. So it really made it really progressive. The bass line, actually, if you listen to it, is a funk bass line, but you won't
mm-hmm.
know because of the way it floats through the song. It's strings on there. There's synth, there's spacey synth on that. So the whole beauty of it is being a contradiction. And even down to the mix, I have Remedy's vocals. I call her Star Diva. That's the name I gave her, Star Diva.
She is that.
Even down to her vocals, I made them very raw, almost to the point that she didn't dig it. And now she's seeing the beauty of, whoa, I was
mm-hmm.
beautiful in that song because
yeah.
it's so raw. And I knew she had it, and if I went anywhere different, that would have been crazy. And I knew she had that. So I kept it in it, and I think she did wonderful. The rawness of it is out of this world, you know.
Yes, it
so
is.
So
Dia
said, I didn't play the sax on that one. I didn't play the sax on it. His name is Melton Mustafa, and he did great. I actually played sax on Beautiful Soul. I played all the horns on Beautiful Soul. Sax,
okay.
the trumpet, the trombone on that. But
well,
everything else
yeah.
is me. I just wanted to call a different perspective on that song in.
And I can understand that. I can understand it. The
yeah.
album is hot. The album is hot. You know, I've been, like, pushing it on Twitter and, you know, Facebook. I'm going to get heavier on pushing it because I've fallen in love with the album. I think every person that's gone through a relationship or, you know, having second thoughts about a relationship should listen to this album. I really do.
Yep.
The song we're going to play first is called Look At Us Now. You want to set this up and introduce it?
Ah, that's cool. Hey, okay. the song Look At Us Now, that is off of the EP that I'm actually getting ready to put out next month called
mm-hmm.
The March of the Robot Killer.
Mm-hmm.
And a short thing, a robot is, you know what a robot is programmed. It does what everybody does. My little conglomerate or company or crew or you call it's called the Anti-Robot Society. So
mm-hmm.
we're just walking the walk of everybody else's walk. We're in coloring outside the lines. So look at us now is remember that we used to be kings, but look at us now. You know, we do anything. We do things on World Star. We walk around with no pride, and we don't fight for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be white, black, Spanish, or whatever, but we used
right.
to be kings. And with me being black, I only know the black perspective, so I'm talking from that. We used to be kings, but look
mm-hmm.
at us now. So with that being said, we can just listen to that. That's there it is. Look at us now.
There it is.
March of the Robot Killer.
Get Us Now by the fabulous Moonshine Brown. I love it. That's going to really make a lot of people open their eyes and think about, I mean, that song is thought-provoking. And, you know, you mentioned we live our lives on World Star, and Negroes love them from World Star Hip Hop.
I love it. They're cool. We love, you know what, we love destruction. We find funny and everything in destruction, and it's cool because
mm-hmm.
I find myself on it sometimes, you know, just
mm-hmm.
dealing with the music, and then it's funny. And then you sit there, and you, after a while, you get into it, and then you realize that, damn, you're kind of accepting very low. We're giving out low vibrations. And I'm not really here to be preachy about it, never. You know, I kind of, what I choose to write about and what I say about it is the things that I think are important to me and people who, you know, people who have the same kind of problem. They'll get that out of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They'll understand. But we got to understand that we putting off lower vibrations, and we were way higher than that. We control.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were.
So
we were.
I mean, we got to understand that. I have a little pride. So That's just it with that. And you know what? I was getting into the song myself. I was just listening to it, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's good. You can get into your own track. I'm over here. I almost lost my hairpiece. I'm bobbing my head. It almost came off. I'm like, wait, I'm glad this is not.
And the funny, you know, and the funny thing about it, what people won't know, that's rock and roll.
Yes.
Rock and roll.
Hot. I love it. Yeah. I love it. What artists, you work with a lot of artists. What artists would you like to work with and perhaps open for in the future concert?
You have to give me three on that.
Okay.
Honestly, three. And one would be Fishbone. Because I'm so into Fishbone, Angelo Moore, that whole movement. To me, they're like a modern-day funkadelic, but I'm just into that whole thing. Angelo is, you know, my singing idol. So, I mean, I'm into that heavily. So I like to do Fishbone. And I'd like to actually work with Joy. I don't know if a lot of people know Joy, but Joy was formerly married to Gip of Goody Mob.
Mm-hmm.
Joy was in Lucy Pearl for a little while, but Joy, J-O-I, mm-hmm. if you don't know about Joy, kind of go check her out. I would love to work with her because I think I could do magic. And the funny thing about that is, and Remedy will get upset about that. Well, she won't get upset because she understands it now. But in the beginning when I met her, man, I would always use her as a reference point. And I'm so proud of Remedy now that me throwing Joy in her face all the time, she came into her own light.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm such a fan of Remedy. So Joy, Fishbone, and I would like to actually produce and sing with Sly.
Oh, man. That'll be crazy.
I'd like to actually do a record with him and actually produce his next album. That would be almost enough for me to say I don't want to produce anymore after that.
I can imagine.
that would pretty
historical.
Much be it for me. Would be pretty much. Yeah.
Well, you know what I do? I tell everybody to put it in the universe and make it reality.
Right. You never know. Everything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's everything's possible. I'm a Lenny Kravitz fan, so I got to mention Lenny. And I'd like to work with Lenny, open for Lenny. But those top three right now.
Okay.
Listen.
Now, if I accidentally jacked your iPod, some thievery going on, if I accidentally, you know, came to your spot, the studio, jacked your iPod, who would I be listening to?
If you came to my studio, was I in the session?
I don't know. You were doing something other than watch your iPod because I jacked it.
Okay. My iPod, you know who I'd have in there, which would be so crazy because it would be so spread out. You'll get a little Jimmy in there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a little Fishbone in there. You get a little Outkast in there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a little UGK in there, Pimp C and Mon B.
Nice.
You'll get a little Fiona Apple in there.
I'll be keeping your iPod.
You'll get a little Rolling Stones in there and Stone Temple Pilot, and you'll get a little Radiohead.
That's
and
mine.
You'll get a lot of Funkadelic. You'll get John Mayer in there. That's crazy. You'll get some Led Zeppelin in there.
Wow.
Jack White, the White Stripes, Al Green. Man.
Yeah,
that,
your iPod
you know
is
what?
Gone.
Pretty much how that went. That's how it was. I'll have some of my stuff in there that I'm demoing, of course. It'll be mostly that. Bette Davis. Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Bette Davis. Miles Davis. It's a range, man, because you know what? I'm always learning.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to have those kind of people that were great and extraordinary, because if you think about everybody I named, they're very much out of the box. Sarah.
Yes.
You get Sarah.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever heard of Sarah. You get Sarah in there. They're very much out of the box, all the way down to their clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a mantra that I live by. That's like my live by. So that's what you'll see. It's a constant growth and learning.
Now,
cleansing of the self. Yeah.
Now, do you have any of your own songs, production you simply loved and is a fan of? Is there one song that you've produced or written that you push, you have to play it over and over again?
Wow. Wow. Let me think about that.
Okay. Marinate on that for a minute.
When the Remedy album was done, I was proud of that. I was very proud of that because with my stuff, people expect one thing, and I gave them something else with that. I was proud of that. I can't say. It's different times for different emotions. When I did Look At Us Now, I was happy with Look At Us Now.
Mm-hmm.
When I did my very first album, High as the Moon, back then, I was happy with that. That was special to me, and I played the hell out of it. And I guess that's the best answer for you. I won't put it out unless I can play it till the wheels fall off.
Hey, that's a fair answer.
Yes. I have million songs that people won't hear, but if I have something that I don't think I will play to the end, all the way down to the music composition, if I can't play it over and over and over and over and over and never get tired of it, that's how I judge it. So that's the answer. I guess everything you've heard that I'm letting you hear, down to the Remedy album or anything else I've done that you've heard, I dug those.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next song we're going to play, Fade to Black. You want to set that up?
We can set that up. I'm proud of Fade to Black. Fade to Black was nominated and won an award in Malaysia for Best Rock Song, and I also got Best Rock Vocalist off that in Malaysia. It's getting a lot of good play in Malaysia on the airlines. That's equivalent to Delta and stuff like that. So Fade to Black is doing pretty good internationally. So I won two awards for that. So I'm proud of that. And just a quote from it every day on the damn news. We run around like some damn fools. It's about life. It's about living your life on the world star. And Fade to Black. You can't see nothing else. Just close your eyes. So here it is, Fade to Black.
Come on.
That was Fade to Black by the fabulous Moonshine Brown. What's your definition of success?
You know what, my definition of success is doing what I love to do and taking care of my three little girls. I'm successful in that. You know, the more that I can provide for them, doing what I love and what I was put here to do is the epitome of success. So I'm striving for that success. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everything is not about the fancy cars and the jewelry and the houses. I agree.
Right.
I agree. What advice would you give to upcoming artists that's, you know, coming into the industry, you know, whether they write songs, producers, or just an artist, period? What advice would you give them?
My advice would be to learn the business. The business is very sneaky, snaky, and can be very dirty. Mm-hmm. Learn the business so that you'll know what's happening to you, how you're being done, and then you can make the choices if you want to do that. I had the luxury of going to doing a little school for the business and living through the business and getting done, all the way down to copyright infringement court, and using my attorney, who's Phaedra Parks from Atlanta Housewives, all the way to that. And it's rough. I mean, learn that. And second, I tell them to not only be a fan of the music, that's going to help you with your writing and your production and your performance. Learn the music. Study the music. Study the people before you. If you know the boundaries that they have, then you know what you can go past.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? If
yes.
they set the bar high, then you know that's possible. So what do you do to go further than that? And never
okay.
stop learning. As long as I've been doing this, I'm always learning. So that'll make every song I do better and better. I'll never plateau because I never feel that I've gotten there.
Mm-hmm.
Never feel that you've gotten there. So
always
stay
hungry.
The last compliment, yeah, always stay hungry. The last compliment is just as good as the one you get now. It's growing, and that works for me, and I'm cool with that. So and the last, find what works for you, period.
Mm-hmm. Are you on Twitter or any other social networking sites you want to provide so people and your new fans can connect with you?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Tumblr. I'm on Instagram. I guess the best way to find me, man, because sometimes the addresses slip me, Google me. That's the best, and you'll find articles and other songs. I've done so much. Page pops up at the front, so you type in Moonshine Brown, M-O-O-N-S-H-Y-N-E, Brown. Fabulous Moonshine Brown. Or Moonshine Brown comes up. I'm on YouTube, so we're good.
Okay. And with that said, you know, all you guys got to do is just Google him and connect with him that way. And the fabulous Moonshine Brown, I want to thank you for coming on the Psy Effect. And when that EP done, you got to come back and share it so we can put it out properly.
I definitely would do that. And I thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, and it's a pleasure. I want to thank everyone for listening to the Psy Effect. Again, if you want to connect with Moonshine Brown, you can Google him. And I will also have all of his links on the Blog Talk website. So when you listen to the interview, you can go in the information area and you can connect with him that way. Thank you guys for listening. Until next week, continue to spread peace and love. Tune in to the Psy Effect Radio Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for your hot topics, hot interviews, and hot music. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ The Psy Effect Radio Show. See you there.
Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you for joining in. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, check us out next time for more fun and more laughs on The Psy.